Hello and welcome to the Treehouse Letter. This is me, Lynn Shatton, your host and producer. And thank you for listening. We are always learning with a bit of fun. Today's podcast is How to Improve Your Writing, Part 1. There is an epigraph or quote to open this letter from C.S. Lewis. I doubt whether we are sufficiently attentive to the importance of elementary textbooks. And that is the opening sentence to The Abolition of Man, 1944, and it was a series of three lectures he gave. Friday, I sat down with an English text, and I read through the lessons on improving writing style. So I thought I'd report back to you on what I learned from the trenches. This lesson goes beyond grammar and mechanics, as well as good content and organization. Now, the former duo make up the machinery of writing, and the latter are what you bring to the page, or screen, as it may be, the information or message and how it's organized. So, writing essentials, these things you should know from grade school. Grammar and mechanics, that's the machinery or makes the sentence run. Content, that's the information or message that the writer or you, the author, have. And then organization, a logical organization to follow. So these are not enough alone to make the writing good. They are essential, of course, because you ought to have something to share, whether that's an essay on the impact of artificial intelligence on the elementary school curriculum or instructions on how to decoupage a cigar box. So the topic should be meaningful and the writing logical if readers are to understand. The aim of these lessons, though, is to make your writing effective, that is, interesting, the kind of writing people want to read. So think of what you read. How often do you take in a couple chapters or a couple paragraphs and the writing is flat, awkward, over the top, strained with academies, or just plain bad? So this program focuses on five elements: originality, exact words, active voice, figurative language, and triplets. Yes, you heard right. Triplets, not as in a set of children, but in a set of phrases. So for this letter, we're going to focus on part one, originality. The first lesson is to improve writing through originality. Use fresh and colorful words. Avoid cliches. Originality helps your writing. It is a, quote, major element of an effective and forceful style, the text explains. So examples of the text are fun, at least to this reader, so I will share. The "what did you do this summer" prompt resulted in this from a student. I spent many hours in the bean patch. What? You did? The textbook is not as old as you might think, some 20 years. I like the use of the words bean patch. That's specific, and it helps me imagine the setting. Now here's the paragraph in the text that discusses the sentence. This sentence expresses its thought clearly. Anyone who knows English should be able to understand it, but stop and think. Can you say this in a more appealing way, a way deliberately designed to be interesting? So one student emphasized that his summer vacation was not a vacation from work by writing something like this. I spent many hours of my vacation in the bean patch. Ah, poor guy, that stinks. Vacay, picking beans. I like this and would probably like the author because he has a sense of humor. So his sentence has a surprising twist, as we aren't expecting a different ending. So this follows the form of the Parapristokian or comic one-liner. I would agree with you, but then we would both be wrong. It's also consistent with the collegiate desktop reference Strunk and White's The Elements of Style. Principle 22, place the emphatic words of a sentence at the end. Why? Because such writing creates interest. There's a thoughtful arrangement of words. Right? So you're talking about hours of vacation and you're not expecting bean patch. So original means avoiding cliches such as these. You could hear a pin drop. At the end of the day, does it really matter? She hit the nail on the head. He wanted to say that if the shoe fits, wear it. So, cliche. This is a tired and common way of saying something that it no longer has much meaning. It's okay for speech. And the best argument I've come across for cliches is in the novel The Kite Runner, when Amir explains why and when the cliche is appropriate. But unless you're a notable writer who builds the cliche into the tale, I'd agree. Skip them. Here are four quotes from my recent reading, and then I will share comments. So the first one, the dead body lay immovable on the grass, and they sat as still as if they too were dead. Now that is one line from Leo Tolstoy's A Prisoner in the Caucasus, 1870. Now this is a translation from the Russian, but Tolstoy outlasts translation in time, as discussed in my last Treehouse letter. The Tartars are preparing the body of a brother who had been killed. Death is immovable. Grass is alive. And the use of the word dead at the open and the close of the sentence reinforces the tragedy in their own stillness to their loss. Tolstoy's sentence creates a vivid image 150 years later. I'll say it again. The dead body lay immovable on the grass, and they sat as still as if they too were dead. All right, second quote. If you think of our story as a child's snow globe, then this is the moment when we shake it hard and the various pieces churn in the water, dancing with gravity on their way to a new resting place. And that is from Mitch Albom's The Little Liar, 2023, page 199. Mitch Albom's line is the opening to part four of his recent novel about the Holocaust. The characters disperse at this point in the story, and the simile he uses about the snow globe to open this section creates an unlikely feeling of peace amid a horrific period. So contrast the hard shake with dancing, the gravity with rest. As a transition, Albom carefully takes the reader along. On the same page, in short, bold font sentences, he explains what happens to the main characters. Third quote. In the hall, there was the smell of cigarettes and Sunday dinner. Carson McCullers, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, 1940, page 56. So McCullers opens this paragraph with a 12-word sentence. Mick is ready to eat. Now, cigarettes is a smell I don't associate with food, but these characters do, and such were the times. This was written 84 years ago, but there's a sense of immediacy and setting. And the Misfits, the character she loves to write about, whose heart is a lonely hunter. The fourth and last passage. After all, barring my one lesson from a local jazz drummer, parentheses, you're holding your sticks backward, David. I basically learned to play the drums by listening to Scream. And that's Dave Grohl's The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music, 2021, page 75. This last example has words like jazz, sticks, drums, and scream. The vocabulary puts me in a world that is completely foreign to me. Drummer and songwriter Grohl's passion jumps off the page, and I'm living this punk rock period of his life right along with him. So these are typical sentences from these authors, and I could have easily chosen other sentences. The point of the passages is to demonstrate that original does not need to be fancy $10 words or the latest writing on the market. The works from Tolstoy and McCullers are from other centuries. Now, each word works, and the order of words fits the story. So writing with originality is not akin to climbing Mount Everest. It is a skill, an aspect of the craft of writing, which you can develop. Practice. effective writing with originality is everywhere. Now, I have a picture, if you visit the site, of the teacher's manual, which is open to this lesson. And the idea of the classical model is that the text has examples for study. Kind of, I picked mine for you. But these include passages with no originality, strain writing, effective writing. And the lesson itself includes sentences, paragraphs, and longer compositions. Now, improve writing immediately. Figure out what you want to say. If you don't know, vomit on the page and time yourself. Everything goes. Then see what the chunks, sorry for the visual, of substance might be there. This helps if you're looking at a blank page and you don't know the form. Now, if you know the form, such as essay or resume or capstone thesis, then a simple outline with basic ideas may help to start. Now, you may have to research and take notes. Check out ChatGPT. Use it as a tool, not to do the writing for you. Now, on the line, make sure to edit for originality. You must revise. All writing is rewriting. So at a minimum, formal writing requires 3 revisions: first draft, second draft, and final draft. Cut the cliches and stop to think about what it is you're trying to say and how you wish to say it. The words, the order. Cut excess verbiage, make each word count. My last suggestion for this lesson on originality is study what you read. Read like a writer and stop to look at writing you like or enjoy. Make a note in the book, highlight, dog-ear the page, and you can see exactly how the writer does it word for word right there on the page. Stay tuned for the next Treehouse letter in this series will be part 2, exact words. Now that's the end of the letter. The footnotes are very, very rich in this particular podcast. And I encourage you to visit treehouseletter.com because the epigraph from C.S. Lewis' famous lecture, I include the full paragraph. The other title for Men Without Chests is also Reflections on Education, with special reference to the teaching of English in the upper forms of schools. I also explain in detail with links to the actual English text I used. And then finally, some interesting statistics on the cost of textbooks these days. That's the end of the podcast. If you like the show, please hit the follow button and give me a rating. And as always, thank you for listening.